The following is a synopsis of the Dvar Malchus taken from the talk of Shabbos Parsha Savei, 21st of Elul of the year Hei Tenase, corresponding to the year 1991. The Rebbe begins by discussing the mitzvah of Bikurim, the first fruits that were brought to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy Temple, with which the Parsha of Savei begins. But the Rebbe makes the observation that right after that, Torah discusses Torah mitzvahs in general. Talks about the covenant that God made with the Jewish people, the covenant of Torah. And the question the Rebbe asks is, since every detail of Torah, including the order in which things are mentioned, are utterly precise, one could draw the conclusion that there is a tight connection between the specific mitzvah of Bikurim, of first fruits, to Torah and mitzvahs in general. That Bikurim somehow reflects the very character of mitzvahs in general, which needs clarification, the Rebbe says, because on the surface of it, mitzvah Bikurim is a specific mitzvah. Moreover, the mitzvah Bikurim has many conditions that are attached to it relative to other mitzvahs. It can't be fulfilled at any time in any place. It depends on a certain location. It can only be done in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, only in a certain period of time, that is when the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, stood, and many other limitations that apply to this mitzvah. So then how could we see the mitzvah of Bikurim as a paradigm for all mitzvahs? We also have to understand about the name of the parsha, Savei, which means when you enter. We know that the name of a parsha expresses the content and the theme of the entire parsha. So we now have to understand, how does Savei express the idea of Bikurim and the other mitzvahs of the Torah? Because Savei refers to entering into the land of Israel. That's a preparation for the fulfillment of the mitzvah Bikurim and other mitzvahs that begin after their entry into the land of Israel. But it has no thematic connection to mitzvahs themselves. Why is the parsha named, therefore, Savei? When you enter, that seems to be a peripheral and secondary aspect. To understand this, the Rebbe says, we first have to explain what is the uniqueness of the mitzvah of Bikurim as first fruits. In simple terms, it's giving praise and expressing gratitude to God for all of the blessings that God gives a Jew. Now, essentially, giving praise to God, thanking Him, is a fundamental principle in the life of a Jew. When we begin our day, the first thing we do when we wake up is we say, Meida ani lefanecha, I am grateful to you that you have given me back my life. The same thing is true throughout all of the prayers of the day, when we say the grace after meals. And likewise, in all the other blessings and prayers, we are expressing gratitude to God. Even amongst the nations of the world who believe in God, the concept of expressing gratitude to God for all of His kindness is very much in vogue. And this is especially underscored in light of the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov that was clarified and expounded on by the Alter Rebbe, that the creation of the world by God is not a one-time event, but it is a continuous process. Every instant, God is recreating the world. So therefore, we have to thank God in a continuous way from the depths of our heart for the continuous kindness that He showers upon us. Every second, He's giving us a new existence. So then, the concept of gratitude is relevant to all of Judaism, but there's something special and unique about the expression of gratitude with the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is on a higher level relative to the other means through which we express gratitude to God. What is unique about the mitzvah of Bikurim is that the gratitude that we express to God is not just in speech, but it also translates into action. A Jew takes the first of his fruits, brings them to the Beis HaMikdash, gives them to God, as it says, V'hinachta, you shall place it, Lifnei Hashem Elikecha, before God your God. By doing this, this act, a Jew expresses in a very overt way his recognition that everything that he has was given to him by God. And even after God has given it to us, it still remains in God's possession. As it says, Lashem Ha'aretz umloya, that the whole world and everything that fills it belongs to God. In order to express this recognition, a Jew brings the first of his fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, and they become an integral part of the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. The garments of the soul, the means through which the soul expresses itself, are three. We express ourselves through thought, speech, and action. In all other examples where we express our gratitude to God, we do it, of course, in our thoughts. And sometimes it also comes out into speech. We vocalize our expression of gratitude. But the mitzvah bikurim is something that comes into action. That demonstrates that the gratitude that we have permeates the totality of the Jew. But the Rebbe continues by quoting the words of our sages that compare the Jewish people to bikurim, to the first fruits. And they cite the verse, Kibikura b'te'ena b'reishisa re'isi aveisechem. Just like the first figs, I have seen your fathers. What is the nature of bikurim? They are the first fruits that have to be separated and brought to the Beis HaMikdash. The word bikurim is related to the word bechor, the firstborn. And that's the same thing that is true about Israel, the Jewish people. They are the first entities that precede creation. As the Medrash says, Machshavtan shel Yisrael kodma l'chol davar. The thought of Israel, the people, preceded everything. And as the sages say, the very same idea, commenting on the first word of the Torah, Bereshis, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. They say the word Bereshis doesn't mean in the beginning, it means because of the Jewish people who are called Reshis, they're called beginning, God created the world. That every Jew has to know that the world was created for him specifically, not just for him as part of the entire people, but for him as an individual. What characterizes the mitzvah of Bikurim is that we bring them to God. The same thing is true with the Jewish people, who are the Bikurim, the first fruits of the whole world. They belong in God's house, the Beis HaMikdash, Lefnei Hashem Elikecha, before God your God. Because even when a Jew is situated in this physical world, in a physical body, he has to know that his essence, his true being, is his soul. And his soul is always Lefnei Hashem Elikecha, before God your God, because the soul is a chelik elika mimal mamish, is an integral part of God, truly and literally so. Or as it says, Yisroel v'kutche brichu kulachad, Israel and the Holy One, blessed is He, are all one. Now since this bond that a Jew enjoys with God is an essential bond that comes from his very essence, that a Jew and God are one entity, that's not limited to specific times or similar situations. Not just when a Jew is involved with study of Torah and doing mitzvahs does a Jew reflect this unity with God, but it's true even when he's involved in optional matters, in mundane matters. Those matters also have to be permeated with holiness, because even the smallest detail in the life of a Jew, since it's an integral part of his life, is totally unified with God. And therefore it has to be appropriately fitted to the situation of Bikurim that are always before God. In other words, every aspect of a Jewish person's life is an inseparable part of his being Bikurim that have to be placed before God. And since every detail of a Jewish person's life is influenced and is characterized by this unity that a Jew has with God, therefore there's a fundamental difference between Israel, the Jewish people, and the rest of creation. The rest of creation is a means for the sake of Israel. Therefore, the rest of creation cannot be referred to as Lifnei Hashem, that it's before God. And the word Lifnei has the double meaning of before and also to the pnimius, to the inwardness of God. That means God's inner will, His true will, is with Israel. They are the goal, they are the objective for which the entire world was created. So the rest of the world, God wanted it, but it's not His inner will. The inner will of God is for Israel. Now this general concept, which is a fundamental part of a Jewish person's life, is expressed through Bikurim in the very simple way the mitzvah is performed. When a Jew expresses his gratitude to God, not just in thought, not just in speech, but also in action, and he sanctifies his physical fruits when he gives it to God, that makes sure that his recognition that he too is Bikurim becomes a reality. That the Jew also is the beginning of the world and its goal and its objective. And that's true even when he's within the physical world, with a soul contained within a body, he is one with God's very essence. So from this we understand that there's a very fundamental and general theme connected to the mitzvah of Bikurim that is related to the entirety of Torah and mitzvahs. Because the mitzvah of Bikurim has an expression of what the character of Torah and mitzvahs, what they're all about. Their goal is to reveal the true existence of a Jew, that he's one with God. Yisrael, v'kutche brichu, kul achad, Israel, and the Holy One, blessed is He, are totally one. Now there's another aspect of Bikurim, and that is the reading of the Parsha. When you brought the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah required that you recited a special section that is mentioned in this week's Parsha. And there it talks about Arami Eved Avi Vayered Mitzrayma, that we had descended from an Aramean, Lavan, Jacob's father-in-law, who tried to destroy our father. Talks about Vayered Mitzrayma, we descended into Egypt, into slavery. And then it says, V'yetzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt. V'yitalanu s'aratz hazayis, and He gave us this land. What does that tell us about Bikurim and about the nature of a Jew? So the Rebbe explains, there are two ways you can reveal the essence of a Jew. That is, that he's one with God. One way, the normative way, the conventional way, is through Torah. That's why we have a constant obligation to study Torah whenever we have a free moment. Because how does one reveal that unity that we have with God? That is through Torah. That's one approach. That's a conventional approach. But there's an unconventional approach, that we have a direct connection with God that does not have to come through Torah, which explains a very puzzling matter. The Zohar says that there are three things that are knotted together, three knots that connect God with Torah and with Israel. So the Rebbe's question is that there are really two knots. If you have three entities that are knotted together, God is knotted and connected to Torah, and Torah is knotted and bound with Israel, the three entities, but only two knots. So then why does it say Shlosha Kesharim, there are three knots? And the Rebbe's answer is that the truth is that there's a third knot. There's Torah, there's God as He connects to Torah, Torah as it connects to Israel, but then there's also a direct connection that God has with Israel that doesn't have to come through Torah. So in addition to the fact that Israel, the Jewish people, precede creation, we also precede the Torah. And this is echoed in the sayings of our sages, that there are two things that preceded the world, Torah and Israel. And the Medrash then says, but I don't know which one came first, but when the Torah says, Tzavas b'nei Yisrael, command the children of Israel, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, that tells me that Israel comes first, because the Torah is addressing itself to an entity that is already there, which is Israel. So Torah speaks about Israel as a pre-existing entity. Hence, Israel comes even before Torah. However, the Rebbe says, there's a difference between the precedence of Israel to the world and the precedence of Israel to Torah. When we talk about Israel precedes creation, the world, that means we are higher than and beyond having a real relationship to the creation itself. We transcend creation. When we talk about our precedence to Torah, it doesn't mean, God forbid, that we don't have a connection to Torah. We are above and beyond Torah, because we are connected with Torah with an essential bond. As we say, Ki heim chayenu v'erech yemenu. They are, the words of Torah, are our very life and the length of our days. That's who we are. That's our life. And they're both hinted in the same word, Bereshis. When it says Bereshis, which we explained, means because of Bereshis, God created the world. The Bereshis that it speaks about is Bereshis Israel, and Bereshis is Torah. So our connection that we have with God is an essential connection, and Torah is God's wisdom and His will, and He and His will and His wisdom are one. So if we're connected to God with an essential bond, we're also connected to Torah. So what do we mean when we say that Israel precedes Torah? That means that we are the cause of Torah, that Torah is here because of Israel. Therefore, when Torah nullifies or unhinges our existence and causes us to die, the Torah is pushed away and is superseded by the preservation of the life of a Jew. Pikuach nefesh deicha kol ha-teira kula. When there's a matter of life and death and a mitzvah, the life of the Jew takes precedence over the mitzvah. That means that the existence of a Jew is not dependent on the existence of Torah, because it says in the Gemara, in the Talmud, Yisrael, a Jew, Aval pi shechata, even though he sinned, Yisrael, who he is still considered a Jew. However, is it possible to have Torah without Israel? No. Because only Israel, only the Jewish people could observe the Torah. So you can have Israel without the Torah, but you can't have Torah without Israel. And because of this bond, this essential bond we have with God, which is there even when there is no overt connection to Torah, for example, a child that was taken captive as a baby and raised by non-Jews and has no knowledge of Judaism, or for that matter, so many hundreds of thousands of Jews in our generation who have no knowledge of what it means to be Jewish and to observe Torah mitzvahs. So they're still connected to God. They are still Bikurim. They are first fruits because they have this bond that transcends even Torah. And the Rebbe then says, and this bond leads them to Torah and mitzvahs, because Israel is the cause that leads us to the effect, which is Torah and mitzvahs. So Torah is the consequences, the effect, and Yisrael, the Jewish people, are the cause. And this concept is expressed through the recitation of the Parsha, the section that we read when we bring Bikurim. We start off by saying, Arami Avidavi, we have an ancestor who tried to destroy us. Love and tried to destroy everything. Even when we're in such a state, we're also in a state of exile, we descended into Egypt. Nevertheless, and that happened before the Torah was given, before we had this bond with God that comes through Torah, even then, what does it say in the next part of the verse? That God took us out of Egypt, and He brought us to this place, and He gave us this land. That God chose the Jewish people as His first fruits, and He brings them to the Holy Land. That expresses how we are Bikurim that precede everything. We even preceded Torah. Our bond with God preceded Torah. We have a direct link with God that transcends the link that we have that comes through Torah. And with this we could explain on a deeper level, there's a law that requires that when we bring Bikurim, it has to be brought in a basket, in a vessel, a utensil. Because this alludes, and this is a metaphor, that the Jewish people who are also Bikurim, they are Bikurim even when they're in a state that they are contained within a vessel. That means even when their soul, which is pure and holy, is contained within the body, which is a vessel for the soul, even then they are lifnei Hashem Elikecha. They are connected to God. And not just the soul is connected, in spite of it being in a body, but the body is also connected and is also given to the Kohen in the literal sense of the Bikurim. And likewise, in the metaphoric sense, the soul and the body of the Jew is placed before God. And this explains, in an even deeper way, the connection between Bikurim and all of Torah and mitzvahs. Bikurim represent the essential virtue of the Jewish people, that they precede everything. They even precede Torah. That's the foundation of all of Judaism, of all of the Torah and mitzvahs. Because when God gave the Torah and mitzvahs to the Jewish people, that was a consequence of their relationship and their unity they already had with God. So God makes this covenant with them that connects them in a revealed way in this physical world through Torah and mitzvahs. In other words, if we wouldn't have Torah and mitzvahs, our connection would be there, but it wouldn't be revealed. It wouldn't be manifest. So because we have this connection, God gives us the means to make it manifest. So from this we see that all of Judaism, all of the mitzvahs, represent the revealing of the reality that we are God's Bikurim. We are His first fruits. And the Rebbe says, with this premise, we can understand what Rashi says on the verse, Hayayim hazeh Hashem elikecha mitzavcha. This day, God, your God, commands you. So Rashi says, what do you mean, this day? He says, b'chol yayim, every day, you beinecha chadashim, they should be in your eyes new, ki'ilu bay b'yayim nitzavis aleim, as if you were commanded to do these mitzvahs this very day. That means every day, Judaism has to be new. Now, where do we get the strength to do this, to have this tenacity that every day we perform the mitzvahs the way we did the first time we were commanded? The reason for that is because we are bikurim, we are first fruits. And the Rebbe explains, what does that mean, we are the first fruits? As we said before, it means that we are not a means to an end like the rest of creation. We are the objective, we are the end, we have intrinsic value because we are one with God. Well, if we are one with God, then every aspect of our life, every single day, every moment of the day, has intrinsic value, has value unto itself. Because every one individual and every aspect of that individual shares that character that we are, and everything about us is part of this end, this objective, not just a means to an end. When something is a means to an end, then it's possible that you can involve yourself in preparation for a certain amount of time for what you're going to be doing later. So when you're doing something now, you're not really doing something that has intrinsic value. You're just preparing for later. But when what you're doing now is an end unto itself, so the end is every moment. There's no difference between the preparation and what comes later. So therefore, every moment of one's day is new, because every moment has this objective in it, as if this was and this is the very end. So the power to be able to do everything every day as new is because we are bikurim. We are not just the means to an end. To explain it a little bit simply, is that when a person is involved in preparation for something momentous, the longer the preparation takes, the less excited you will be about it, because you're still waiting for that momentous event. But if every moment is momentous, then you have the same enthusiasm and the same excitement. And that explains, the Rebbe says, and answers the question that he asked at the very beginning. The name of the parsha is Savai, which refers to entering into the land of Israel. How does that express the general theme of the whole parsha? Because it's the name of the parsha. So the Rebbe explains that even though entering into the land seems to be only a means, a prelude to the observance of the mitzvahs that come later in the land of Israel, but because we are bikurim, that means we are not just a means to an end, so everything that we do represents an end and an objective unto itself. That even when we're in the beginning of our service, we just entered. We didn't even get very far. And it's only a preparatory stage. We have to know that there is this ultimate goal in this very moment. And that's why we are in a state of Sava, in one hand, we're entering in, but we're entering in with our entirety, with our whole being, with our internal being as well, because this moment of entry is the end, not just a means to a later end. And the Rebbe then says this is also connected to the month of Elul. Elul is an acronym for the four words, Ani L'Dodi, I have my love for my beloved, V'Dodi Li, and my beloved reciprocates that love to me. And we know the famous parable of the Alter Rebbe. What is this month so special? It's the month in which God is like the king who's in the field, where everybody has the right to greet the king without any limits. That expresses the unity of the Jewish people with God that has no limits, no preconditions, even if they didn't observe Torah mitzvahs. They have this essential quality. They are God's reishis tvuasa, his first produce. The ani, the I of every Jew, in whichever situation he may be, is doidi, is connected to doidi, my beloved, with God. Moreover, because of this connection, every Jew has the ability to bring about the last two words, v'daydi li, that God will show his bond and his love to the Jewish people. What does all this lead to? What's the conclusion of all this? A Jew has to know how much value that he should ascribe to every little detail of his life, even something that appears to be less important relative to other things. It's not less important. It has intrinsic value. And when you reflect on this, that this is a part of your essence of being Bikurim, first fruits that are brought to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, and Lefnei Hashem Elikecha, before God, your God. And the Kohen, who's in the Beis HaMikdash, examines every movement of yours. You're under his supervision. You should know that you have to pay attention to every detail. You can't dismiss a little detail saying it's not important. And this is true in every time, whether it's Shabbos, a weekday, a festival, an entire year, and how much more so in the month of Elul, that you have to take every little detail seriously. And the Rebbe then says that a Jew really doesn't have any connection to Golus, to exile. Where is the place that a Jew really belongs? Lifnei Hashem Elikecha, before God, your God, in the Beis HaMikdash. And the only reason that we are in Golus, the objective of it, is in order to awaken the fact that even when we are in the physical world, in a state of Golus, we are still Bikurim, we are God's first fruits, and that Israel and God are all one. And when we accomplish this, when we reveal this unity, that gets rid of the Golus. Moreover, it transforms the Golus, the exile, into Geula, into redemption. And since every Jew has to come to God with a request, when they brought Bikurim, it says, V'yaniso v'yamarta, you would declare loudly before God. Likewise, we have to declare loudly, Ad Masai, how much longer do we have to stay in exile, that God should bring the Geula in actuality, because the Geula should have happened, the Rebbe said, a long time ago. And since a Jew is one with God, and especially in the month of Elul, when that bond with God is revealed, and God's will is the will of the Jew, and the will of the Jew is God's will because there's this unity. Certainly, we have the power through our declaration that when we ask and demand of God to bring the redemption, that we have the power to accomplish that, that God should get rid of the Golus immediately and bring us the redemption. Now, a summary of the synopsis. The inner content of the mitzvah Bikurim is that what is the true existence of every Jew is that he's one with God. And that encompasses and embraces every aspect of his life, and specifically revealed when the soul is within the body. That's the beginning and the foundation and the ultimate goal of all of Torah and mitzvahs. Through them, you reveal the fact that even when we are in this physical world, a soul in a body, we are one with God. And because of that, the Rebbe said, three things emerge. Every Jew is Bikurim, who transcends and is above the entire creation, even beyond the Torah. And even though Torah and a Jew are one thing, the very essence of a Jew leads him to observance of Torah mitzvahs. Nevertheless, we are the cause of Torah. That means our existence is there even without the Torah, but it's not the other way around. Without the Torah, can't say the Torah could exist without Israel. And where do we find this idea that Israel transcends Torah? The Rebbe says through tshuva, the fact that we can repent and that absolves us of what we have done wrong, proves that Israel transcends Torah. And the second area where that expresses itself is with a little child who hasn't yet spoken words of Torah, or someone who is a child in terms of his Judaism and it's not his fault, yet his connection to God is intact. So that's the first thing, that every Jew is Bikurim, we are first fruits, we transcend everything. Number two, where is our true location? Where do we belong? Lifnei Hashem Elikecha, in the holy temple, before God your God, just like the Bikurim, just like the first fruits in the literal sense. The third point that emerges is that every Jew is Bikurim in every little detail of his life. That every detail is not just a means to an end to something that comes later, God forbid, but every moment of a Jewish person's existence and life is an end unto itself. And that's why when you have a detail that seems only to be a preparation for something else, but because it's part of a Jewish person's service to God, that moment is a tachlis, is the ultimate goal. And that's why you have to enter in it with all of your being, your inwardness. And that gives you the strength that every day your observance of Torah mitzvahs is new. Now, the inner content of a mitzvah is expressed by Bikurim very literally, because when you bring Bikurim, you express the depth of your emotion of gratitude and praise to God, not just in speech, but also in action, that you're giving your physical fruits to God. That expresses not just that you are grateful, the creation is grateful to the Creator for all of His kindness, but it's a deeper recognition that everything that you have is really God's, that the Creator and the creation and all that you have are one with God. Then the Rebbe said that Bikurim are especially expressed in the month of Elul, the concept of Bikurim, because then every Jew is one with God in a very close way, an intimate way, in a very deep, loving way. The king is in the field, and that's why whoever wants to go out and greet the king can do so. Moreover, every Jew has the power to create the reciprocal flow of love, deidili, of love of God to me, to the Jew. And also, every Jew has the power to bring the redemption, the actual redemption, by crying out to God, God, please have mercy on us and take us out of this exile and bring us the true and complete geula, redemption through a righteous Mashiach. But then the Rebbe says, Hamaisehu ha'ikr, the deed is the essential thing. And the Rebbe gives us a few instructions, four instructions. Number one, we should be very conscientious of every thought and every word and every act that we do. And every little detail, even the most minute and apparently insignificant detail, is important, because it has to be lefnei Hashem alikecha, it has to be before God your God, especially in this auspicious month of Elul, and especially in the last 12 days of the month of Elul. Number two, the second practical application, we should influence other people, people with whom we come in contact, that they should also do their service to God in a perfect way in this month of Elul, particularly in the days of Slichas, and then subsequently in the month of Tishrei. Number three, and this the Rebbe says, Ve'ikar, is an essential thing. We should provide the needs of the festival, the needs of Rosh Hashanah, the needs of the entire month of Tishrei, to all those needy people. That's the third practical lesson. And number four, we should make a special request of God in the month of Elul, Ad Masai, how much longer, that He should already bring the Geula, the redemption, in actuality. And now, to take an excerpt from the Rebbe's talk, where he focuses on the announcement of Geula, of redemption. This theme was already mentioned before, but it will be repeated again because it's so central. A Jew has to feel that every detail in his life, he is Bikurim, he's bringing first fruits to God, not just when he's involved in godly matters like study of Torah and doing mitzvahs, but even when he's engaged in mundane matters, he's earning a living and the like. Because they are the mundane matters of a Jew, they are also part of this concept of Bikurim, and therefore they have to be permeated with a sense of holiness and exaltedness, consistent with the idea that they are before God your God. And then the Rebbe said, based on all the signs, the Geula should have happened a long time ago. So if that's the case, we understand that the declaration that a Jew makes in the month of Elul, that he cries out, Ad Masai, similar to the proclaiming of Anisa V'Yamarta, when a Jew brought Bikurim, he would state loudly his praise for God. We have to state loudly, Ad Masai, that God should bring the Geula B'Peil Mamish in actuality.